This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, it's a Thursday morning. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show, and we are happy that you are with us. We have got Kim St. Ange in here, Carl Middleman, Sue Thomas along in a minute. We'll get Ethan Bright in here a little later with In Other News. The breaking news overnight is about actor Gene Hackman. Heard that on the way in. They found him dead in his apartment or his house, I guess in New Mexico somewhere. And still don't know what caused it. He, his wife, and his dog were all found dead. Sounds they don't suspect foul play. Sounds a lot like maybe carbon monoxide.
That was my first thought.
Something like that.
Yeah, very sad, although I did hear he was 95 years old.
But his wife was in her 60s.
60s, I did hear
yeah,
that too.
And he's been retired from acting for a long time.
Yeah, nobody's laid eyes on him in a long time. I saw a picture of him and almost didn't recognize him, but he is 95. Right? I mean, in my mind, he'll always be the guy in Hoosiers or one of the great movies. Batman was one, or Superman, I should say, was one of my favorite roles that he played years ago. He was a great comedic actor, great serious actor.
Mark?
Very sad.
We're on Facebook.
Oh, nice. So I have to tell you, I thought I had been banned again from going live on Facebook, Carl, so I'm happy to hear that. Yesterday, and this is not, I mean, we've been bragging about this for a while now, but yesterday they had the check presentation for Guns N' Roses for last year, where they raised over, they wrote them a check for $1 million to Backstoppers.
That's awesome.
And it's just fantastic that they can do that every year. They do it in year in and year out, and Steve Holly runs that organization, just does a great job. They announced yesterday to everybody in the crowd that I will be part of that process in November. And 97.1 is, of course, the partner radio station. Audacy, of course, along with Julie Tristan down the hall. Julie's been playing a big role in this for a few years now as a ring announcer and helping out with things like that. But we're gonna play a big role in it this year, and we couldn't be happier about that. And when I was down there yesterday morning for the news conference, I was trying to do a Facebook Live to announce what they were announcing, and Facebook gave me a message: you cannot go live until April 21st or something like that. I have no idea why I got this message, so I was really concerned we might not be able to get the show up on Facebook this morning, Carl. And lo and behold, we've done it. You've done it. Well done, Carl.
I did nothing. I did the same thing we did yesterday. We're back on Rumble too, by the way. I don't know why that didn't work.
Okay.
But we are up on all of the socials.
Good. And, of course, you can always download the podcast if you miss anything. Man, we've got quite a rundown for you today. If you haven't taken a look at that on the social media networks, we are going to talk about the Blues. We got Scott Warman in here at 6:35 filling in for Tom Ackerman, who is apparently about to catch a flight and head down to Jupiter, I believe, for spring training. Jim Talent, we're going to talk to Jess Christensen. I told you I was trying to get somebody from Bayer in here to talk about Roundup and this bill that has passed the House in the Missouri legislature, is pending in the Senate, is getting threats of a filibuster. You've heard Adam Schnelting and John Lamping on here explaining why they're opposed to the bill. We're going to give the folks from Bayer a chance to explain their side of it coming up here this morning at 7:35 and why they feel that they need some of these restrictions on people being able to sue over the use of Roundup or glyphosate, which is the key ingredient in Roundup. We've got Dr. Naomi Wolf this morning. She's written a book about Pfizer and what happened during COVID.
I'm really looking forward to that. I mean, you know, I have strong feelings about what played out with COVID and the shot. And well, even now, years later, the continued push. You hear about, oh, it's the latest shot, make sure you get it. I mean, how many people are really buying that and thinking? I know people do, but what percentage of people are listening to the fact that the latest version of the shot is out and thinking, I have to run right now and go get that at my Walgreens, my neighborhood, you know, pharmacy?
I can't imagine there are that many, but, 70 million people voted for Joe Biden. So you got to figure that there are a number of them out there. So we're going to get Dr. Wolf on. She wrote a book called The Pfizer Papers, Pfizer's Crimes Against Humanity. And we've been trying to get her for a couple of weeks. Apparently she was out of the country, but she's back now. We've got her this morning. Of course, Shannon Bream and Griff Jenkins, as usual, on a Thursday morning. So it should be a fantastic show for you. And Carl, let's get started with our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We haven't gotten responses. Usually that means that maybe that person doesn't exist or that person doesn't want to say they're working for another company while being paid by the United States government.
The president held his first official cabinet meeting yesterday, and it was something to hear, something to see. If you missed it, he had Elon Musk there kind of schooling everyone, and Musk unveiling apparently some death threats that he's receiving.
Just the interest on the national debt now exceeds the Defense Department spending. But we're spending like over $1 trillion on interest. If this continues, the country will become de facto bankrupt.
Man, truth, of course, but I hope they've got him like wrapped up in some sort of Secret Service detail. I know he's got private security, but I really hope they're protecting that man because there are idiots out there trying to kill him.
But I love the countries of Europe. I love all countries, frankly, all different. But European Union's been, it was formed in order to screw the United States. I mean, look, let's be honest.
The European Union was formed to compete with the United States. And I think that's absolutely right. He's going to take a lot of heat for saying that yesterday. But there's no doubt that that's what it was put together for. It's a conglomeration of states to combine their economic forces to compete with the United States of America, period.
If you could speak directly to Elon Musk, what would you say?
F*** off.
That's it.
That's nice. These people, that's the new face of the Democratic Party there, isn't it? Jasmine Crockett. Apparently, did you know Kim? I kind of forgot about this. She's from St. Louis.
No, I didn't know that.
But somehow ended up in Texas where she ran for Congress and got elected somehow. So I don't know if she was a Cori Bush protege up here. I don't know where she got her her grounding in nutty politics. But this woman is now sort of the face of the Democratic Party, and they're welcome to her. I am happy to put her on here every day, just like we did every time crazy Cori Bush said something, because people need to understand the hatred and the vitriol that's coming from the left in this country. And it directly leads to violence. You just have to say that, right? You have to call it what it is. Donald Trump didn't have two attempted assassinations just out of the blue. These people were driven to do this because they were told repeatedly by people like Jasmine Crockett and Maxine Waters that and Adam Schiff that Donald Trump was the devil, that he was Adolf Hitler, that he would mass murder 6 million people. That's the vitriol we hear from them constantly. And somebody's got to be held accountable for that. If the Democrats want to allow Jasmine Crockett to be that lightning rod, we're more than willing to accommodate them anytime. And you know that's the truth. I'm the biggest supporter of free speech you've ever heard. She's welcome to stand up and say that every day. Why is she so mad? Tell me that. What right has Jasmine Crockett lost since Donald Trump got elected? I'll play this for you coming up here shortly, but The people at CNN are completely under the impression that we're already in a dictatorship. I don't know how Scott Jennings keeps his crap together on CNN every night. People say that to me. I don't know how you do your job. I'm like, you just put the facts out there and let people decide the truth. Scott Jennings schools the left every night on CNN. I'm shocked they've let him stay on there. He leaves them gap-jawed. They don't know what to say to him when he points out the obvious truth. They had somebody on there yesterday, and I don't even know the guy's name. I've never heard of him. Toure something, who I've never heard his last name.
He used to be on MSNBC.
Well, he's on CNN now. Hmm. And he suggested yesterday that Donald Trump is a dictator because he's in control of the military. And Scott Jennings looked at him and said, you do know that the president of the United States is the commander in chief. No, he's going to appoint somebody to the military who's going to take over the country. Who's he going to appoint? Because he's the commander in chief of the military. I mean, the guy's completely clueless about how our government works, but the biggest vocal critic of Donald Trump. And all you have to do is let him keep talking. I mean, I think that's really what we have to do. Some big news out of the Supreme Court last night. We will get to that for you coming up here in just a couple of minutes, though. Carl, who's got our national anthem
today? So the big story, Mark, is Gene Hackman passed away at the age of 95. But 9 years ago today, Carrie Fisher passed away.
Oh, wow.
I scared Ethan by saying, that was 9 years ago? That was 9 years ago. So here is her former husband, Paul Simon, at the 1986 World Series, doing our national anthem.
An ACLU group is saying that the confinement there is tantamount to solitary confinement, which is against the UN rules on how you have to house people like this, because they only get 2 hours of outside time, outside of their cells. What do you say to that?
I say bull to the ACLU. I know what their agenda is. They want to make America look bad. They want to make our commander-in-chief, President Trump, look bad. These are top-notch, top-tier facilities run by professionals where they bend over backwards to make sure that medical, dental, health care, food, religious accommodations, language accommodations all exist. No, you're not going to have universal freedom at Guantanamo Bay. It's a prison.
I got to tell you, every time I see Pete Hegseth doing an interview, I am more impressed with Donald Trump's choices for his cabinet. Same with Kristi Noem, same with Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, right down the line, I have been so impressed with these folks once they've gotten them in front of a camera and, you know, taking questions from the mainstream media. That was Laura last night, Ingram, talking to him at Guantanamo Bay. She got to go down and tour Guantanamo Bay. It's a prison. If the ACLU had its choice, nobody would be in a prison. So, I mean, here we go again. And I love how Hegseth handled that. That cabinet meeting yesterday was epic. And I heard Elon Musk say it. He said yesterday, I think you've picked some of the best. You've picked the best cabinet in the history of the country. And I think he's right. They're looking at the EPA, a 40% staff reduction or better. That this is groundbreaking. Groundbreaking is not a big enough word for what we're doing here in downsizing the federal government. Thank goodness we're doing that. And here's the thing. We already know what the left We know what their strategy is here. It's to run out and find an Biden-era or Obama-era judge who will issue a temporary stay and try to slow down this wagon train. But they're not going to be able to slow down this wagon train because it's going to keep moving forward. And yesterday, John Roberts of the Supreme Court stepped in and provided some relief. They had found a judge, U.S. District Judge Amir Ali, a Biden, a recent Biden appointee, who had ordered that that the president's freeze of USAID funding was an untenable payment plan at odds with the president's obligations, and the Supreme Court smacked him down. He gave him until midnight last night to pay all these people, or he was going to be found in contempt of a federal court. And the Supreme Court's like, you don't have the power to do that. I mean, thank goodness Robert stepped in hours before this ruling would have taken effect. This is going to be the strategy of the left. They have nothing else left to do here. They're willing to go out and tell flat-out lies about what the Trump administration's trying to do. I'll play you a little bit of it. I've got some of the sound from Congresswoman Ann Wagner. She was on with Reardon last night. And she was talking about these rumors that the geospatial agency here in town, the NGA, is going to be shut down, or we're going to gut it, or something like that. I told this, I mentioned this the other day when Carl and I were talking about it. What they do over there is crucial to our nation's defense. And if there's anybody in this country worried about our nation's defense, it's Donald Trump. That's not an agency they're going to gut. Now, there may be some reductions if they do have any fat over there. And I'm sure every federal agency has some fat. But Ann Wagner confirmed again yesterday that it is a flat-out lie that NGA is on the chopping block, or, you know, they're coming in to gut that agency that, you know, they just built their brand-new facility here in San Luis. In fact, I ran into somebody the other day that works over there, and he said there were a lot of nervous people. I'm like, yeah, I'll bet throughout government there are nervous people. Because we're trimming the fat, baby. That's what's happening. All right, coming up, we will get to Kim on a Whim right after this.
Kim on a Whim.
Big news, pet parents. Starting in 2025, the IRS will allow tax deductions on certain pet expenses. Uncle Sam might actually owe Fluffy or Fido a little cash. Now, you still can't claim your pet as a dependent, and we know that's totally unfair. But if you do meet certain criteria, some pet expenses could be deductible.
Yeah, you know, she's saying starting in 2025, I've been doing some Googling, and it looks like this has been in place. But still, there's this viral post that's going around talking about how you can now get a tax deduction if you have a pet. However,
why?
Just because you have your dog, your adorable dog Summers, doesn't mean, Mark, that you get to write that off. It has to be a qualifying animal. So they would say a service animal, an emotional support animal. If you use your pet as part of your business, so it's like a considered a guard dog or something, you know, a lot of people try to make their pets famous on social media, and they think they are officially called pet influencers. It's a thing. Some of these animals will have millions of followers on social media. And if that's the case, you could write that off as an expense. Vet bills,
like
food,
rabbits,
pet insurance, all kinds of things. If you foster an animal, that in many cases would be considered a write-off.
We need to get the process started soon to get her qualified as a guard dog. My wife would be all over that. I mean, she works from home. The dog sees a squirrel outside, it barks. I mean, it guards her.
You are protected from the vicious squirrels.
It keeps her safe during the day.
Well, see, that's my thing. I'm not opposed to this per se. Like, I think if you're fostering a dog, I can understand that. That can get very expensive.
Yes.
I've done that before I then adopted the dog I used to have. But I have to laugh because I think about how easy it has become for people to make their animal an emotional support animal. Because if they can get that title on the pet, like a turtle, then they're able to bring it on the plane and say, I need this because I'm really anxious on flights, and therefore I need my iguana, my emotional support iguana on the plane. So how many people are going to see this tax credit and say, you know what? Let me make my little hamster Ralph, let me make him an emotional support hamster so that I can write off all the little, you know, chips and stuff that he goes to the bathroom on in his cage.
You know, I think the airline issue probably brought this into the sharpest focus a few years ago when people were getting their pet, you know, pot-bellied pig called a support animal, and they were able to take it on an airplane. The airline started cracking down on that crap. It's not as easy as people think. Now, you may have a friend who's a veterinarian who's willing to write you a prescription saying your animal is for anxiety. I don't know, but I don't think they do that just on a request. I think you have to have some evidence that the animal is registered with some organization as a support animal before you can do that. So I mean, I would hope the IRS would be very picky on who it would give this tax break to.
I would hope so.
Wouldn't you think?
Well, I would think if your medical doctor can diagnose you with something like a stress disorder or anxiety, which anxiety, everyone is anxious these days, then yes. I would think that you might have a better shot at getting the animal deemed an emotional support animal. But you're right. I hope that the IRS is cracking down on this a lot more. I'm not opposed. Now, you never should be able to claim your pet as a dependent, and you can't as of now. I would be staunchly against that.
The people who only have pets and don't have kids might argue with you on there. Like, well, if you can claim your kid, why can't I claim my pet?
It is not the same. I just watched this video. Was it called Fur Babies or something? I don't know. I put it on for Easton because there were cute puppies and these dogs were giving birth to other. It was really cute. But they were, these pet owners were kind of the extreme side of things where, you know, they said, I view this the same. I view my dog having a baby the same as if, you know, when I was in labor. And I'm thinking, this is not the same. This is not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know people who are in that situation. And that's that, if you treat your animal like your kid, that's fine. I've seen the pet, the signs of you don't like dogs, don't bother coming over to my house and think, you know, that's fine.
I love dogs. And you can love your dog a lot. And I guess to a degree, treat your dog like a kid. It's just when people put the animal on the same level as a kid.
Right.
They're not the same. But I admit I was that person growing up where if I saw a movie and like Lassie, you know, or anything like that, where the dog is Marley and Me and the dog is hurt or dies. It's like you're more sad about the animal dying than you are the person. And it's just, it's backwards.
Can I just tell you that I discovered something yesterday, speaking of pets, that I was yesterday days old when I found this out. Do you know what bully sticks are?
Mm-mm.
Carl?
Say that.
Do you know what bully sticks are? If you don't have a dog, you probably wouldn't.
I don't know.
It's a rawhide chew that is very popular among animals, dogs specifically. Okay. It's 8-12 inches long. It's just that's what it is. It's wrapped in rawhide. My wife went to Costco yesterday and she bought a big bag of bully sticks for our golden retriever. And I'm just sitting there minding my own business and I look down at it says all natural. So I look down at the ingredients of this bully stick because I was interested to know what makes this different than any other rawhide product. And it says it has rawhide, like animal hide, right? And it has beef pizzle in it. And I had to Google that.
I'm Googling it right now.
Please Google that and tell me what beef pizzle is.
I have found out.
I had no idea until yesterday.
I want
what
Kim
was in
to
a,
find out.
What was in a bully stick.
I want Kim to
a natural
tell
dog
us.
Chew made from dried beef muscle?
No, it's not muscle.
Nope, not muscle. It's a, well.
Oh, okay, I see it now.
It could be a muscle.
Okay, I see why.
It's cartilage.
Okay.
It's made from a bull's penis.
Or steer.
Or steer. Or whatever. I had no idea. We've been buying these for our dog for a few years. I just assumed it was another rawhide thing. I had no idea what we were feeding to the animal. It's all natural.
I hope you try. Oh, I'm sure they use the words all
and
natural.
And it's not for human consumption, it says on the side of the bag. But yeah, that's it.
It's
supposed
like
to be healthy.
Mountain Oysters.
I guess so, yeah.
Is Summers a big fan of the bully sticks or
she
whatever?
She is. All dogs are. And I'll tell you, I'm really anxious to
attack.
What's that?
Attack.
No, These things aren't cheap. I'm anxious to get that tax write-off because if I have to buy bull penises for my dog, I should get to write that off with my taxes every year.
Please submit that to the IRS and let me know how that goes.
But now he has talked about it on the radio. So
please deduct the beef pizzle expense from my taxes every year.
Are those expensive?
If you itemize...
They're pretty pricey.
They're about $1 and a quarter each.
They're cheaper at... like a Costco, because you can get a big bag of them, than if you go to a regular grocery store, Schnucks, somewhere like that to buy it. All the dog treats are a little more expensive there, but still, yeah.
I'm going down a rabbit hole now looking up pizzle sticks.
Yep, that's what they are in Canada. So you guys were today days old when you figured that out. Oh, they are?
That might be one of the only things that's cheaper in Canada. Why is that? They have more to offer?
Tariff on any bully sticks from Canada, don't you think?
Yes.
I guess I know why they're called bully sticks now.
That could be Canada trying to stick it to us. You just never know. What's that?
Yes. I know now why they're called bully sticks.
I had no idea. And when I saw that word, I'm like, pizzle, what is that? And I had to Google it just like you did. So There you. If you didn't know that before, we have informed you too of something this morning. If you've been feeding these to your dog, you can now think about that every time you hand them one of them.
I hope someone listening right now just gave their dog a bully stick. Dwayne, by the way, on Facebook says, I think if you can have insurance on a pet, you should be able to claim it as a dependent.
Health insurance?
Well, people do. Do you have pet insurance?
I have pet insurance.
Is it really worth it?
Well, you know, here's the thing about it.
Well, if your dog's older maybe or has health issues, I could see it being worth it.
When we joined the new company, we were with Emma's for years, and we came over here to Intercom. They give us the benefits pamphlet, and I'm looking through it, and it offers group pet insurance through like Nationwide. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I wanted to show my wife. I'm like, it's like $10 a month or something like that. And you can get $15. I don't know what it is. You can get insurance on your pet. But it's only for like critical illness. Like it doesn't help with the every time you go to the vet, it's a $200 bill kind of thing.
This is
a but if your
kidney
dog
surgery.
Has cancer or it has to have some major surgery or they tear the tendon in their knee, that happened to our golden retriever, our first golden retriever. Ellie tore the tendon in one knee and we went and had it repaired and the surgery was close to $3,000.
Oh my gosh.
Right? All we had to pay was about $500 out of pocket.
So if Summers breaks her tooth on eating a bully stick, it's not covered?
Well, I don't know if they replace tooths in dogs, but if it's a surgery of some sort, it can be covered. They just don't cover everyday deworming and things like that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But you know, for us it paid off because we had to have both of her legs done. We had about $5,000 in surgeries that probably cost us $800 out of pocket instead of $5,000.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's a tough decision for people. If you've got a pet that you paid a few $100 for to begin with, and then all of a sudden it needs $5,000 worth of surgery, do you have to put it down because you can't afford to do that? You're going to put your family in debt to save the dog's legs, or do you have pet insurance?
Well, once you're attached to the animal.
Yes.
You love the animal, you'd want to do anything for it, and so people are willing to go to great lengths and go into debt.
Mark Rudin just told that story on the air recently.
Yeah, I remember that.
About his dog, that they had a tough decision to make because it had swallowed that squeaker from a toy that it chewed up, and it was going to have major intestinal surgery to get that thing out of there.
Did he do the surgery?
They did.
And also, we also have someone else who has used bully sticks.
Oh, Sue Thomas?
Yeah, what about him?
Oh, Sue, let Mark enlighten you. Go ahead, Mark.
You know what they are?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, they're bull. Yes, I know what they
Sue,
are.
Sue, say what they are.
Bull pizzle.
Well, yeah.
I didn't know that. I had no idea. I told him I was. I've shocked all of them here. I was yesterday days old.
I don't have a dog.
Reading the instructions on the side of the bag and stuff that's in it on the side of the bag, and it says beef pizzle. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And I Googled it, and I'm like, You've got to be kidding me. Now I know why they call them bully sticks.
Well, you got it.
They're supposed to be good for their teeth.
Yeah, they love them. Yeah, they do. There's no way around that. And in the world of bulldogs, I have one that will just Ugh, I have to get the more you discuss it after you talk about what it is.
I know.
But I have to I get know. The longer ones.
Oh, Sue gets the long. Oh, my gosh.
Yep, that's right. Otherwise, the bulldogs will choke on them. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
There you have it.
This conversation got weird fast.
It wasn't weird to begin with.
It was a little weird, I'll have to admit. All right, okay. Sue. Yeah, thank you for that that input there.
Sure. Helpful.
So maybe the older bulls?
Could be. I don't know. Oh, boy. All right.
I guess the good news is they use everything, right?
They do.
They do.
They let nothing go to waste.
Recycle, that's reuse, right. Reclaim.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Regurgitate.
That's
all
right.
True. Oh, gosh. All right. All right. Time for a break.
All right. Enough about bully sticks. Kim, I need somebody to check me on something because I've gone down a rabbit hole here, and I just want to make sure I'm not missing something. The measles outbreak in Texas.
Yeah.
If you do an internet search for that, these are the headlines you're going to come up with. The Guardian: unvaccinated child dies of measles in West Texas as outbreak worsens. Unvaccinated child dies of measles in Texas outbreak. That's the New York Times. AP: Robert F. Kennedy Jr. describes the measles outbreak as not unusual. It goes on and on and on. USA Today, all of them talk about this with a sense of exasperation in their breath. Measles. There's a measles outbreak. It was the first measles death in America in all these years. It must be JFK's fault. Even Breitbart, I'll have to say, I noticed this yesterday. Even Breitbart, you have to get down to, let me see here. I'm having trouble in the light over here seeing this. It's more than the fifth paragraph down, but you have to get way down here to find out the truth about the measles outbreak. And the measles outbreak has happened in a Mennonite community where they largely don't believe in vaccinations. Now, why would that not be the lead part of the story? If you're vaccinated against measles, you have nothing to worry about. I'm not an anti-vax person. My kids are all vaccinated with these regular childhood vaccines. My point is, they're acting like this must be RFK Jr.'s fault. I'll keep saying that for the rest of my life. This must be RFK Jr.'s fault because he's against vaccinations. And sure enough, I'm watching ABC News with David Muir last night, and the reporter brings this up during the story. Well, RFK Jr. is controversial with his opinions on vaccinations. His opinion, Biden's health department opinion, none of it had any impact on these Mennonites who, for their own religious reasons, have decided they don't want to be vaccinated. And when they make that decision as free human beings, they take the risks along with that decision. Am I not right about that?
Yeah, but I actually do support them not saying that it was an unvaccinated group until farther down. If you actually look at the data from the federal government, you will see that a lot of kids growing up, you had the measles. And if you actually look at the numbers, so that vaccine, MMR, came out in 1971, and it has been really pushed on kids, okay? MMR, a very common one, okay? Measles, mumps, rubella. If you actually look at the numbers, we're talking 1953 to 1962, the average number of deaths per year was about 440. I'm not saying that that's great, but I'm just saying 440 out of millions and millions of people.
Tiny.
You, grandma would typically handle this. I'm not telling you that measles can't be very serious. Obviously it can, but anything can be very serious. And so I get frustrated when people just slam people who don't want to take the risk of getting a vaccine, because there are risks potentially with not, but there are also risks with getting it. And you as the parent have to determine, and you as the parent should be the one to determine, not the federal government, if which side you want to fall onto.
Yeah, but if
which
you're
group.
Again, it just like with COVID, if you're vaccinated, you're vaccinated. You shouldn't have to worry about it.
But you can still get COVID.
But we know that. And apparently you can still get the measles.
You can still get anything if you're vaccinated.
It's just not as bad because you've had the, your body's had a chance to build up some immunity to it.
That's what they tell you, at least.
So, you know, Kennedy goes into the cabinet meeting. Of course, they had to ask him about it yesterday. And he's like, it's really not that unusual. And the fact that it was in a, you have to mention it, the outbreak is in a community where they don't believe in the vaccinations. That kind of makes your case for you if you're pro-vax, but why would you bury that? You act like it's a threat to all of America, but it's not. And my frustration with the mainstream media will never end over this kind of silliness, for sure. All right, coming up next hour, I told you yesterday I wanted to find out more about the Blues and Bennington, and we got Scott Warman joining us at about 6:35. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.